பத்ரம் கண்ணேபிஸ்ருநுயாமதேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுவாகும்ஸஸ்தனுபிஹ வ்யஷேமதேவஹிதையதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நைந்த்ரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஶ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷோ அரிஷ்டநீமிஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. த்வாஸ்ஸுபர்ணா ஸயுஜா ஸகாயா ஸமானம் வ்ருக்ஷம் பரிஷஸ்வ ஜாதே தயோரன்யஃ பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்டன்னன்யோ அபிசாகஷீஹி அபிசாகஷீதி. த்வாஸ்ஸுபர்ணா ஸயுஜா ஸகாயோ ஸமானம் வ்ருக்ஷம் பரிஷஸ்வ ஜாதே தயோரன்யஃ பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்னன்னன்யோ அபிசாகஷீதி. ஸமானே வ்ருக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னஹ அனீஷயா ஶோசயதி முஹ்யமானஹ ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஶ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் அஸ்ய மஹிமானமிதி வீத ஶோகஹ. யதா பஶ்யஃ பஶ்யதே ருக்மவர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமீஷம் புருஷம் ப்ரஹ்ம யோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதூய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி. சோ as I said, to understand the teaching presented in this three verses together, we need to have some basic understanding, and we understood very clearly an individual human being who is said to be constituted of two aspects, Purusha and Prakriti, is further understood to be of consisting of five aspects. What is an individual? An individual is nothing but sthula shariram, சூக்ஷ்ம சரீரம், காரண சரீரம், அண்ட் த ரிஃப்ளக்ஷன் ஆஃப் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் அண்ட் கான்சியஸ்னஸ். ஹவு கேன் தேர் பி ரிஃப்ளக்ஷன் ஆர் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன் இஃப் தேர் இஸ் நோ சோர்ஸ் ஆஃப் ரிஃப்ளக்ஷன்? தேர் இஸ் திஸ் அப்சல்யூட் ரியாலிட்டி இஸ் தி மோஸ்ட் அப்ட்ராக்ட் ஒன், சட்லஸ்ட் ஒன். தேர் இஸ் நத்திங் பியாண்ட் சட்லர் தேன் ரியாலிட்டி கான்சியஸ்னஸ். We do not know what the reality is. We were to ascertain that. That is why we are studying Upanishad. But now there is absolute reality. And reality is of the nature of consciousness. And it is reality being the subtlest. It is the nothing beyond consciousness. It is consciousness which is all pervasive. If it is all pervasive, it must pervade every individual mind also, every individual human being also. Therefore, there is consciousness. It is Atma, source of manifestation. And because all pervasive consciousness is there, obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual being, implied by the term Atma, and there is naturally, there is manifestation, reflection of that consciousness, which is said to be what? Chidabhasaha or Pratibimbita Chaitanyam. Then apart from that we have Sthula Shariram in the gross body. Then we have Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. This reflection of consciousness, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram together constitute what? Jivatma. Jivatma is a name given to the three aspects of the individual. And pure consciousness is Paramatma. Now you know who is Jivatma, who is Paramatma. So Paramatma is not Jivatma, but every Jiva is nothing but Paramatma only. And now, as we saw, in this mantra, there's a Vrikshaha mentioned, a tree mentioned. The tree mentioned mantra symbolizes, stands for the Sthula Shariram. So within that Sthula, because it is, I said yesterday, Sthula Shariram also, initially it is unmanifest, it becomes manifest, it comes into existence, it grows, and finally it also falls apart. Therefore it is likened to a tree. And the Jivatma indwells the ஸ்தூல சரீரம், ஜீவாத்மா இன்டுவெல்ஸ் தி ஸ்தூல சரீரம். அந்த ஜீவாத்மா இஸ் லைக் இன் டு அ பேர்ட். அண்ட் பரமாத்மா விச் இஸ் வித் த சோர்ஸ் ஆஃப் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன் ஆஃப் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் ஆல்சோ பீங் ஆல் பர்வேசிவ் இஸ் தேர். The two birds, one bird symbolizing Paramatma, another bird symbolizing Jivatma, and a sthula shariram which stands for the gross physical body. The tree stands for sthula shariram. Now all five aspects of individual now presented in the form of a tree with two birds. Okay, let's enter into the mantra now. So here, and if we see, yesterday I also said, the Jivatma alone has what? Jivatma alone enjoys the status of being the doer, enjoyer, knower, etc. And we also differentiated the Jivas obtaining in other living beings do not have kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, and even jnatrutvam. Even they have a certain degree of knowledge. And here, and the free will also is not functional in other living beings. This much yesterday I told you. Now the mantra says, samanam vriksham, samanam samanaha vrikshaha. One and the same tree. So samanam vriksham parishasva jate vau saparno sakhayo. The two adjectives saparno sakhayo are adjectives of the word superno. Now the physical body, the same physical body, in the same tree, there are two birds. In the same physical body, there is Paramatma, the all-pervasive reality. There's also Jivatma, the subtle body, causal body with reflection of consciousness. Okay, now. So, Already the introduction itself must make it very clear for you that can you all hear me? Today is Sunday, lot of news is here. Okay, so we need not go in search of Bhagavan anywhere. Bhagavan is there as the very swarupam of every individual. Already, this is made very clear. Now, so, this Paramatma symbolized, there's a bird which symbolizes Paramatma, and Paramatma alone is said to be what now? Sakshi Chaitanyam. Okay, there's a time, there's manifestation. This manifestation or reflection of consciousness appears and goes. When there are thoughts, when the mind is functional, when the thoughts are there, the reflecting media is available, reflecting medium in the form of thought is available, then there is manifestation of consciousness, reflection of consciousness. Whenever the reflecting medium or reflecting media in the form of thoughts are not there, when the mind is non-functional, the reflecting media thoughts are not there, then the reflection also will not be there. So the reflection goes and comes in keeping with the arrival and departure of reflecting media. The reflection also goes and comes. But the source of reflection is always there, witnessing the arrival and departure of the jiva, arrival and departure of the thoughts. Okay? The thoughts come, thoughts go. In the waking state, thoughts are present, the manifestation of consciousness is. In deep sleep state, consciousness is, but there's no manifestation of consciousness because mind is non-functional, thoughts are not there. Therefore, it is said, so reflection of consciousness or its manifestation of consciousness goes and comes. Because the reflecting media thoughts go and come. But only one thing which does not go and come, which is always present, is what? Consciousness. We understand consciousness only with reference in terms of its nature of being a witness. So consciousness is not the witness, but there's no witness other than consciousness. The witness, Sakshi Chaitanya is Paramatma. Okay. Now, this Jivatma and Paramatma are there in the same tree, Jivatma bird and Paramatma bird. Both birds are sitting, okay, on the same tree, Samanam Vriksham Parishaswajate. Parishaswajate means what? Both birds keeping company for each other, embracing each other. Okay, resort to the same tree. Parishaswajate means both birds resort to one and the same tree, keeping company for each other, embracing each other. Both birds resort to one and the same tree. Samanam Vriksham Parishaswajate. Parishaswajate. In fact, Parishaswajanam means actually, literally, it means hugging, embracing. Parishaswajate literally means hugs, embraces. And it also means occupies, perched on, perched upon. Okay. Now, Jivatma bird and Paramatma bird, both of them embracing each other, keeping company to each other, occupy the same tree, resort to the same tree, perched upon the same tree. Okay. Now, Dva Suparna. Now, the word Suparnaha. Suparnaha means a bird. And Dvau Suparnau. Jivatma Paramatma birds. Two birds. Means Dvau Suparnau. Now, in fact, it must be Dvau Suparnau. Ekaha Suparnaha Dvau Suparnau. That is, the in conventional language, it must be written as Dvau Suparnau. Suppose in Vedic, it is a Vedic usage. If we write Dva Suparna, you will not get marks. Okay? In conventional language, Dvau Suparnau is the correct expression. But in is a Dva Suparna is what? It's a conventional. It is a Vedic usage. Chandasa Prayogaha. So we should not write Dva Suparna. We should understand it as mantra's words. Dva Suparna is equal to Dvau Suparnau. Two birds of beautiful wings. Okay. Parnaha means here. Bird of beautiful wings called Suparnaha. And the Suparnau two. So two resplendent bright birds with resplendent wings. Okay, that supernova, that brilliance or resplendence of the birds, resplendence of the wings implies the consciousness. Why it is the two birds are with resplendent birds, with resplendent wings means that resplendence, radiance, brilliance indicates the consciousness. manifestation of consciousness as well as the source of manifestation, both. Now, these two birds, having the brilliance of consciousness, the birds of two beautiful, brilliant wings are sitting on the tree, perched upon this tree. And how are they? Can you separate the source of reflection and the reflection? No. The source of reflection and the reflection are ever inseparable. The reflection may be there, may not be there, in keeping with the presence and absence of the reflecting medium, but it is never separable from its source. Therefore, both these birds are inseparable, because the pure consciousness, the source of manifestation, and the manifestation, so Chaitanyam, Chit and Chidabhasaha are inseparable. These birds are inseparable. Okay. Now, this gross body and subtle body, listen, the gross body can move from one place to another place. Similarly, subtle body also can travel from, okay, can move from one place to another place. Subtle body and gross body, both bodies can move from place to place, go from place to place. And the pure consciousness need not travel, need not go anywhere. Why? It's already all pervasive. Wherever the physical body goes, there, before the physical body goes, already there is consciousness. Okay. Anyway, conscious, original conscious, pure consciousness need not, cannot travel, because all pervasive. Now, so pure consciousness, Paramatma, cannot, does not travel, being all pervasive. The Jivatma goes and comes. Jivatma moves from place to place. The Jivatma, even though does not have its own consciousness and sentiency, it has the borrowed consciousness in the form of manifestation, a reflection of consciousness. So now you can make out, wherever there is life, and there must be manifestation of consciousness. Please understand, wherever there is, of course, consciousness is all pervasive, but still, for us, under how to understand, wherever there is life, there must be manifestation of consciousness. And wherever there is manifestation of consciousness, there must be source of consciousness available for recognition inseparably with the manifestation. So wherever there is Chidabhasaha, there must be Chit, the source of it also. Now, this Chidabhasaha, the reflection of consciousness or manifestation of consciousness, is subject to arrival and departure. Therefore, it is finite in nature. Whereas consciousness, the source of manifestation, is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. So even though they are of two different natures, the manifestation of Chidabhasaha is subject to time, is finite in nature, limited by time. But Chit, Chaitanyam, is of the nature of infinitude. One is time-bound, one is timeless. But still, there is inseparability of Chidabhasa from the Chit. Therefore, now, Sayujau. Again, Sayujau. So, Dvau, Suparnau, Sayujau. Two beautiful, resplendent birds with resplendent wings. And they are Sayujau. Again, Sayuja is Chandasaha Prayogaha. Sayuja is a Chandasaha Prayogaha. Sayijau is a Vedic usage. Sayujau is what? Vedic usage. Sayujau. Sayujau is the, Sayuja is Chandasa Prayogaha. Sayujau is a conventional language. Sayujau means what? Inseparable, together. Sayujau means Sakayau. Sayujau means Sakayau. Sakayau means what? Friends. And these birds, because of because these are inseparable, Upanishad presents beautifully as mentions as Sakayo friends, Sayujau. Means they are friends. So Dvau Suparna, they are to inseparably together as friends. Inseparably together as friends. Dvau Suparna Sayuja Sakaya. You learned all the three words now. Dvau, Suparno, Sayujau, Sakayo. See, the Vedic which is different. In conventional language, you must write as Dvau, Suparno, Sayujau, Sakayo. Two birds which are resplendent with resplendent wings, and they are Sayujau means they're inseparably together. Sakayo, they are friends. And they both are perched upon the same tree, embracing, keeping company for each other. Samanam vriksham parishasva jate. Okay. Now next we have to go to next line. Before going, let's understand. Now, there's a Paramatma does not require any Paramatma does not require, need any help from Jivatma. I mean, Paramatma is not dependent on Jivatma for its existence. Whereas Jivatma is very much dependent on Paramatma for its very existence. Suppose if you ask, does Paramatma need any support from Jivatma? We ask, really speaking, Paramatma needs the support of Jivatma only when the Srishti has to come into existence. The Srishti has to come into existence. If the creation of the world has to happen, then Paramatma requires the help of Jivatma. Why? Only as Jivatma, the world can be created. In the sense, the world can be perceived, the world can be experienced. Because the creation of the world is not possible unless there is karma. Okay? The karma is very important. The creation of the universe needs karma. Therefore, Bhagavan, the Paramatma, can create the world. Paramatma is capable of creating the world in conformity with the punya papams of every Jivatma. So, Paramatma is capable of creating the world in conformity with the punya papas of every Jivatma. So every Jivatma has one's own accumulated past karmas of the past lives. So there are bundles of karma of the past lives. Suppose all jivatmas have their own respective karmas, accumulated karmas. So what is the reason? The creation is possible. The creation itself is for the purpose of exhaustion of the punya papams of the jivas only. The jagat, its srishti itself is for the exhaustion of karmas of the jivatmas. So now, in creation, what causes the universe, if you say, the two karanams. Here, Paramatma is only a general cause. Samanya karanam. Paramatma is only a samanya karanam, general cause. And Jivatma's karma alone is a special cause. Vishesha karanam. So jagat srishtehe karana dvayam asti. There are two causes. So Paramatma is samanya karanam, without whose presence itself is a blessing, without whose presence creation is impossible. The universe cannot enjoy the status of being existent at all. But really, what contributes for the creation of the universe is the vishesha karanam, that is karmas of jivas. Therefore, jivatma, whose karma are responsible for the creation of the universe, become the relative, the vishesha karanam, special cause, and Paramatma becomes the samanya karanam. Let me make it very clear. With reference to ocean, if there is no water, there cannot be ocean at all. Water is the samanya karanam for the ocean. But you know, there's in certain laws are involved. What contributes for the rising of the waves? So water is the samanya karanam, and the laws involved there become the vishesha karanam of the ocean. Similarly, here, the vishesha karanam of jagat srishtihi is, creation of the universe is the jiva's karma. Therefore, jiva's contribute for vishesha karanam. Paramatma is samanya karanam. This is one important thing. And Paramatma as pure consciousness, okay, is one important lesson you must remember. And secondly, Paramatma as Paramatma, pure consciousness by itself, never can say Aham Brahmasmi. Okay, pure consciousness implied by the term Brahman. Brahman cannot say Aham Brahmasmi. Brahman cannot say Aham Brahmasmi. Brahman need not say Aham Brahmasmi. So Paramatma need not say Aham Paramatma. Cannot say. Whereas Jivatma, isn't it? Understand, but pure consciousness doesn't speak. See, water need not say, I am water, I am the ocean. But the wave can say what? I am the water, I am the whole. Similarly, here Jivatma can claim, I, the Jiva, am Paramatma, the pure consciousness. I, the Jivatma, am essentially Paramatma, the pure consciousness. Aham Brahma Asmi. So Jivatma can claim Aham Brahma Asmi. Whereas Paramatma cannot claim Aham Paramatma. I'm Aham Brahmasmi. This is the second point you must remember. Now, why? Because if it is Paramatma does not claim, but the Jivatma who claims Aham Brahmasmi is Paramatma only. In order to claim one's own essential nature, the consciousness needs what? Definitely, Paramatma requires the sthula sukshma sharirani. Without subtle body and gross body, okay, there cannot be manifestation. Without the manifesting medium, there cannot be manifestation. But if there's no manifestation, means there's no way of claiming, I am that. Therefore, Paramatma is requires the gross body and subtle body in order to have the status of being a jiva, thereby to claim that Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Paramatma. Therefore, sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karna shariram, all three bodies are important. Only then Paramatma can enjoy the status of being a jiva. Without these three, jiva status is not possible. And knowledge of self-existence also, I am. Even that knowledge is possible only if there is reflecting medium. And only then claiming that Aham Brahmasmi is possible. Okay. Without the subtle body, gross body by itself cannot be alive. And a subtle body without the gross body cannot be functional. Look at this. Subtle body is dependent on gross body to be functional. Gross body is dependent on subtle body to be alive. And Paramatma, and for the, both these bodies to be functional, alive, there must be manifestation of consciousness. And for the manifestation of consciousness, there must be source of manifestation. And for the Paramatma to have the status of being Jivatma, thereby to be able to claim Aham Brahmasmi, the bodies are required. This is all we must understand. Now, this is how we say. Then, only for the purpose of transaction, only for the purpose of transaction, Jivatma and Paramatma are mutually dependent on each other. Jivatma is dependent on Paramatma for its existence, and Paramatma is dependent on the mind for its manifestation. This is the mutually they are dependent on each other only for the purpose of transaction. Otherwise, absolutely, Paramatma is of the nature of existence. Paramatma is absolutely not at all dependent on anything. Paramatma absolutely is independent of everything. Relatively, only for the purpose of transaction, we talk about this mutual dependence of Paramatma and the mind. See, even recognizing the fact, I the knower am consciousness. Who am I? I the knower am consciousness. And understanding this fact is what claiming one's own essential nature being consciousness. And even this claiming that Aham Brahmasmi is a function, is a transaction. Therefore, mere presence, pure consciousness, pure existence, mere presence is not a function, is not a transaction. Okay, therefore, only for the purpose of transaction, Paramatma is as though dependent on the Jivatma. Jivatma is mind. Okay. Now let's go back to the mantra. Dvosakayo. Those two birds are very close friends and they are mutually supportive of each other. Now you understood how they are mutually supportive of each other. And both the names, one bird is Jivatma, another bird is Paramatma. What is common in both the names is what? The word Atma. In Jivatma, Paramatma, even though the difference is in Jiva and Parama, there's a common word which is Atma, Atma. Therefore, Samanakhyano. Samanakhyano. Look at this now. Samane, Dosuparna, Sayujasakaya, Samanam Vriksham Parishaswa Jate Tayoho Anyaha Pippalam Swadvati. We'll come back to this. So they both are of equal fame because they both are Atma. They see there's the same name they have. And they also obtained in the same physical body. Samanam vriksham parishasva jate. Now, tayoho anyaha. Tayoho, between those two birds, of those two birds. See, saha taute, if you come, positive case, shashti vibhakti, shashti vibhakto dvivachane, tayoho iti rupam. Tayoho, of those two birds, anyaha, tayoho anyaha. Pippalam swadu vatti. Okay, pippalam means fruit of the tree. Okay, pippalam is a fruit of the tree, and atti is a verb. Atti is a second conjugation verb. Can you make out? Atti means second conjugation verb, which means eats. And one of them, see, of both two birds, only one bird eats. Tayoho anyaha atti. Eats. Eats what? Palam, pippalam. So pippalam is the fruit of the tree. So of those two birds, one bird only eats the fruit. And then how? Swadu. Swadu atti. Swadu means it relishes. It eats the fruit, relishing its taste. Swadu means what? Relishing. Relishing implies what? Remaining immersed, remaining engrossed, remaining inward. So, eats the fruit, relishing its taste. So, it means the bird is totally immersed. Swadu atti means the one bird between of those two birds, one bird eats, immersed in its taste, involved in its enjoying the taste of it, engrossed in taste, in enjoying tasting the fruit. Swadu atti. Okay. So when we say one bird eats the fruit of the tree, tayoho ekam pippalam swadu atti means one bird enjoys the eats the fruit, relishing its taste means, okay, that relishing its taste implies the bird experiences both what? Pain and pleasure. Relishing the taste, enjoying the fruit, eating the fruit, relishing its taste means that bird enjoys, goes through the jiva bird, eats the fruit. Jivatma bird alone eats the fruit, relishing its taste. And it is immersed in relish enjoyment of the fruit. So the jiva bird alone goes through the experience of pleasures, pains and pleasures. Eating the fruit, relishing the taste of it implies jiva bird going through the experience of pairs of opposites. In terms of pain, pleasure, success, failure, etc. Okay, now, sometimes some fruits are very sweet. Some sweet fruits are very, very sweet. Then when the jiva bird eats the sweet fruit, it has what? It has sukha anubhavaha. The jiva bird has sukha anubhavaha, desirable of the pairs of opposites. And sometimes the fruit becomes very sour or bitter. Sometimes the fruit becomes sour or bitter. That bitter taste and sour taste of the fruit stands for what? Going through the pain. So eating the sweet fruit implies jiva bird experiencing, having the experience of the pleasure. And eating the sour and bitter fruit, sometimes it bites it. The fruit is not sweet like the other fruit. It is very bitter and sour. And eating the bitter and sour fruit is like what? Is like going through the undesirable, unpleasant experience of pain. Okay, so now, we are in our lives, okay, imagine all of us are what now? All jivas always are experiencing, going through this experience of paths of opposites. They go through the desirable, undesirable, pleasant, unpleasant situations in life. So this Parama Jivatma bird always eats bitter and sweet fruits. Okay, perched on this tree called body. And what are those fruits? Why some fruits are sweet, some fruits are bitter? Same tree. All fruits must be equally sweet. No, because in keeping with the punyam and papam. So whatever punya papams we have accumulated as a result of our past karmas, accordingly, punyam we exhaust in the form of experiencing pleasure. When the bird eats a sweet fruit, it's exhausting, it's a punya karma phalam. When the bird eats bitter fruit, it's exhausting the papa karma phalam. So, if we simply look at the fruits, all the fruits look alike. From the same tree, the fruits look alike. In their appearance, we don't see any difference. But only when you eat them, you know whether the fruit is bitter or sweet. The same way, when a person performs the actions seem to be the same. But only when the result comes, then you know whether the action was in conformity with dharma, whether it's a punya karma or papa karma. So here, this is how jivatma is eating. Now what happens? The jivatma eating more and more fruits. Again, what does it do? Sitting there, again, it contributes for accumulation of much more risk. Because it is jivatma is relishing it, enjoying it, sometimes really goes through the severe pain of undesirable fruits also. Okay. So swadu atti. Now, what does Paramatma bird do? Now you know very well. Jivatma bird sitting there, so engrossed, immersed in eating the fruits of the tree. Jivatma is so focused in eating its own fruits, the fruits of the body. In terms of punya papa karmas, what does Paramatma do? The mantra says, Anyaha Paramatma. See the mantra now. Samane vrikshe, dosuparna, sayuja sakhaya, samanam vriksham parishasvajate, tayoho anyaha pippalam swadvati. Anyaha anashnanne abhichakashiti. Anyaha, other bird, is Paramatma. And Paramatma, what does it do? Anashnanne, very important, anashnan, without eating. Anash, ashnati means eats. Ashnan, eating. Anashnan, without eating. This Paramatma bird, anashnan, without eating, without experiencing, okay, anashnanne, abhichakashiti. Abhichakashiti means it's merely witnesses this jivatma bird eating. It's like when if you are eating, your friend can be watching you eating sometimes like that. This Paramatma bird sitting there without eating any fruit. It is sitting on the same tree, no doubt. But no fruit really draws the attention of this Paramatma bird. Paramatma bird sits and watches, sees all the fruits, sees the tree and sees this Jivatma bird eating. And you say, oh my God, look at where this Jivatma is eating. Paramatma is just the watching, okay? Witnesses. Abhichakashiti means Paramatma, without involving itself in anything, simply sitting, because actionlessness is the nature of the Atma. So Paramatma, sitting there, witnesses and perceives, witnesses this Jivatma bird relishing the fruit. Karmaphalani. So, Abhichakashi Anyaha Anashnan Abhichakashiti. Other bird Paramatma witnesses what is happening there without eating. Okay. So Paramatma is present there in every Antahkaranam. And by mere presence, it brings everything to light. It illumines and it lends existence. By being manifest in the mind, it lends existence, consciousness and sentiency to the mind. Okay. Similarly here, we have to see, these are the Jivatma and Paramatma are there. Therefore, Paramatma doesn't eat. Therefore, Paramatma doesn't go through any pairs of opposites also. Paramatma is only a witness. Paramatma, the Paramatma bird does not become the victim of the problems of the taste of the fruits. Because Paramatma doesn't eat, it's only witness. Now we can understand. Is Paramatma obtaining in the form of consciousness, lending existence, becoming manifest in the mind, as manifest the consciousness, lends sentiency, consciousness to the body, mind, and complex, thereby contributes for the life, contributes for the experience is made possible because of this sentiency and consciousness lent by Paramatma. Therefore, Paramatma bird only Abhichakashiti. This word Abhichakashiti you came across in Rudram. So Abhichakashiti illumines, or illumines means witnesses, knows, perceives. This is Paramatma bird. Okay. Now, this much alone is presented in this first mantra. Now, here, in this mantra, the background required for analyzing the problem of samsara is given. Okay. In the whole mantra presents the background required for analyzing the disease, diagnosing the disease of samsara. And now we have not yet diagnosed the disease. We have understood what Jivatma is doing, what Paramatma is doing, how Paramatma is not doing anything. Paramatma is of the nature of actionlessness, simply sitting there. By mere presence, it only witnesses. Just perceives, sees what is happening. It is Jivatma who alone totally immersed in eating the fruits of the tree. He is both bitter and sweet fruits. The poor Jivatma is not able to eat only sweet fruits. It doesn't eat only bitter fruits also. It eats both. Okay? Both fruits it eats. Now the question is, now having presented this much, now we have yet to the next mantra. Next mantra, Upanishad wants to present beautifully samsara as a disease. And samsara is a rogaha, samsara is a disease. And for which there's a bhava rogaha. And we do not know there is a problem of samsara. Sometimes you only have the symptoms of pain, but do not know what exactly is the disease which causes the pain. Now we all have the suffering of going through constantly these paths of opposites. If we go through only pleasure, that'll be very nice. Unfortunately, we go through pleasure, pain, pleasure, pain, pleasure, pain, success, failure, loss, gain. We go through these paths of opposites. And one of the paths of opposites is desirable, another one is undesirable, and is a symptom of the disease of samsara. We have the disease, but we have not yet diagnosed the disease. we experience the symptoms we have to diagnose the disease. Therefore, the following mantra, second mantra, beautifully presents the diagnosis of the bhava rogaha. The disease of samsara is going to be diagnosed only in the second mantra. And the diagnosis should be done means, and the question is asked. Now, every individual knows one's own existence in terms of I am. I know I am. And the person asks, okay, you know you are. Are you there? Yes, I am. If you are, who are you? What are you? Suppose the question is asked, immediately you say what? I'm a daughter of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, grandson of so-and-so, grandfather of so-and-so. It's okay. Relatively, this your identity is fine. But absolutely, do you know you who you are? It's only relative identity, temporary identity. But you have your permanent address. You know who you are. Really speaking, you do not know. You do not know. Therefore, Upanishad asks a question. Upanishad doesn't imply a question here. So now you must have identity. All these five aspects together are here. And what do you want to identify yourself with? Do you want to identify yourself with? Do you want to take the pure consciousness as the content of I? Or do you want to take Jivatma as I? Or do you want to identify only with the mind? Or do you want to identify only with the gross body? In fact, all the material aspects, gross body, subtle body, causal body, all of them are inert matter. In fact, I must be cognitively dragged from, intellectually pulled from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to pure consciousness, paramatma. Then you can claim I am is partial knowledge. If you say I am consciousness, paramatma, aham brahma asmi, if you say aham asmi is partial knowledge. If you say aham brahma asmi, it's a total knowledge. But unfortunately, we are not able to claim aham brahma asmi. Therefore, what? There's a problem. Now, so what do you identify yourself with? This is the question to diagnose the problem of samsara. Okay. Now, next mantra. Samane vrikshe
purusho nimagnaha anishaya shochati muhyamanaha jushtam yada pasyatyanyamisham asya mahimanam iti vita shokaha samane vrikshe purusho nimagnaha anishaya shochati muhyamanaha jushtam yada pasyatyanyamisham asya mahimanamiti vita shokaha.
Okay. Now, samane vrikshe purushaha nimagnaha. Samane vrikshe purushaha nimagnaha. Nimagnaha means what? It is drowned. Magnaha itself means drowned. But nimagnaha means what? Totally lost. Now, this Jivatma bird, not only does it relish the taste of the fruits, bitter and sweet fruits, it is so lost, it's engrossed, it's totally involved in relishing it. So, that Jivatma bird remains steeped, deeply involved with the tree. So, samane vrikshe purushaha nimagnaha. So, vrikshe nimagnaha. Okay, the word vrikshaha, you know very well. It means vrikshe nimagnaha. means the Jivatma has strong identity with the physical body. Vrikshe Nimagna means because the Jivatma is so engrossed in relishing the fruits of the tree, what happened? Jivatma has strong identity with the tree, that is physical body. Vrikshe Nimagnaha. Mistaking the body as I, as the meaning of the word I, taking the physical gross, physical, tangible, material body as the self is said to be Vrikshe Nimagnaha. It is so engrossed, it is deeply obsessed with the tree, having strong identity with the tree and mistaking the tree for one's own self. Taking the body, physical body for the self. Okay. Then, when the Jivatma bird has strong identity with the tree in terms of physical body and mistaking the body as the self, that is when this Jivatma gets a new title as what? Because of the erroneous perception of the physical body as the self, having identity with the self, then Jivatma is known as Ahankaraha. See, if the Jivatma does not have identity with the physical body, if it doesn't become obsessed with the physical body, then Jivatma will be what? I am. That's all. I am is knowledge of self-existence. But when it adds any qualification to I am, because of its identity with the physical body, then it becomes what? Ahankaraha. If you say, I am a man, it is ahankara. I am a woman, it is ahankara. I am fat, I am tall, I am thin, I am healthy, I am sick. Any qualification, any attribute added to this knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, it becomes what? Ahankara. It is a wrong notion one has about oneself. Understand now what is ahankara? If you stop with I am means knowledge of self-existence, any attribute added to I am becomes what? Ahankara. Once any attribute or qualification is added to I am, then it is ahankara. Once ahankara is there, means what? Then individuality comes. I am an individual. I am an individual. Because individuality and erroneous notion in terms of ahankara, all this come. Okay. The Jivatma becomes what? The I am. I alone becomes ahankara. Then an individuality also comes. Then what happens? Then you have all the duties. Once you become an individual, you have varna dharma, you have ashrama dharma, and you become the classified as what? In keeping with your predominance of gunas, you are known as a brahmanaha. In keeping with the predominance of gunas, in keeping with the choice of your activities and are inclined to do, and you become a brahmanaha, kshatriyaha, vaishyaha, shudraha. So, as an individual, one becomes, classified as one of the classes or one of the ashramas. Say this, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a householder, I'm a vanaprasthi, I'm sannyasi. All these qualifications become attributed to the knowledge of self-existence, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. Okay. All this is how ahankara. Now, when this simple knowledge I am becomes ahankara because of the strong identity with the body, mind, and body. And ahankara, once ahankara is there, individuality also. You become an individual. Now what happens? Because of this strong notion that I am an individual because of the identity of the one physical body. Now what happens? When your identity is with the one physical body, through that one physical body, then naturally you become related to all, many other bodies. Then this body has a mother, this body has a father body, father's body. Is how even relationships, okay, all relations also come only through this one physical body. If the identity with this body is not there, aham brahmasmi, aham paramatma asmi means finished. There's no problem. But unfortunately, because you do not know your paramatma, you know you are, then you mistake the body for the self, and then you have all qualifications attributed to I am. This is just a basic knowledge. Then there is ahankara, and because of ahankara, there is also individuality. And as an individual having ahankara, as ahankara an individual, and because of identity with one physical body, then naturally one becomes related to many other bodies. Then father, mother, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, and all relations come. Once relations come, then what happens? Then ahankara results in mamakara. What ahankara? The very strong I sense. So having identity with the body maintenance complex is ahankara. Now, mamakara, I sense in the body is ahankara, and having any my sense associated with the body is called mamakara. Now, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my house, my job, my earnings, my money. So, mamakara. Mamakara means what? The sense of possession. So, I sense and my sense. Ahankara leads to what now? Mamakara also. And once you have both ahankara and mamakara, this is how we diagnose you. Now, samsara, okay? How, just because you know you are, but you do not know what you are, and you mistake, you have strong essence in the body, take the body as the self, and you have all qualifications attributed to I am, then I am becomes what? Ahankara. And because ahankara there is, it also results in later on mamakara. That is when you become an individual, then also mamakara. So how ahankara becomes, how individuality comes, how mamakara also comes. It is only because of the strong identity with one physical body, mamakara comes, sense of possession comes. Imagine if you do not have any identity with the physical body, then there will not be sense of possession. This is how one relationship, one identity with one body contributes for association with many other bodies as with a sense of possession, in terms of sense of belonging, a sense of possession. This is how many more knots. Okay, one knot, identity with the one body is one knot. Already ignorance is a knot. And it ties you with the one body. And thereby it ties you with many other bodies. So many knots. That's why it's called avidya granthi. Ignorance is said to be a knot which can contribute for many, many knots. Which can tie you up with many bodies, many things. Starting with one, tie you with many other bodies. You know how ahankara comes, individuality comes, mamakara comes. Why? Purely because of association with one body. Okay? Helplessly, choicelessly, one mistaking one's physical body is what now as the I. This is the first knot. Okay? The fundamental first knot one ties is with one's own physical body. ஸ்தூல சரீரம். ஐடென்டிட்டி இஸ் செட் டு பி மேரேஜ், தேர் இஸ் நோ அதர் மேரேஜ். ஓகே, ஐடென்டிட்டி வித் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் பிசிக்கல் பாடி இஸ் வாட் நவ் யூ கெட் மேரிட் டு திஸ் பிசிக்கல் பாடி, யூ கேன் நாட் கெட் ரிட் ஆஃப் இட் ஆஃப்டர்வர்ட்ஸ். Then because of this body, then you get associated with the many other bodies. This is how identity with the sthula shariram. And then what happens? You do karma. And having this body, mind and complex, you perform karma. Because the desires come and you do karma. And because of karma, you accumulate punyam. And to exhaust the punyam, you have to be born again. புண்ணியம் நாட் புண்ணியம் ஆர் பாபம் டு அக்யூமுலேட் கர்மா ரிசல்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ் அண்ட் டு எக்ஸாஸ்ட் யூ ஹேவ் டு பி பார்ன் அகெய்ன். ஓகே, திஸ் இஸ் ஹவ் சம்சாரா இஸ் நவ் இஸ் இட் இஸ் யுவர் சாய்ஸ் நோ இட் இஸ் நாட் யுவர் சாய்ஸ் தேர்ஃபோர் மந்த்ரா சேஸ் சமானே விரக்ஷே ஓகே சமானே விரக்ஷே புருஷஹா நிமக்னஹா. Okay, purushaha nimagnaha, this tree nimagnaha, the jivatma bird who is lost, engrossed, gets obsessed with the enjoyment of this, the identity with this one body. What happens? Anishaya. Anishaya means what? Not having any control over this samsara. Anishaya. Then முக்கியமானஹா சோச்சதி. முக்கியமானஹா சோச்சதி. Just because you do not know what you are, just because you are not able to claim that you are Paramatma, you are Paramatma, but you're not able to claim it, but what happens? You know you are. And then you mistake the, you identify yourself with the body. That becomes the first tie-up. The first knot you tie with your body. Then there is individuality comes. And all, anything added to I becomes ahankara. And finally there is a samsara. Okay. Then this is what it says. Anishaya shochati. Anishya means what? You are absolutely helpless. See, understanding one's helplessness is very, very important. See, it's not your choice. We have not chosen to be samsaris. Okay? We have not chosen to be ignorant. We have not chosen to be, it is not our choice. Naturally, we are born. Okay? It's not our choice. We're not chosen to be ignorant, not chosen to be samsaris. Because ignorance is naturally there, how helplessly we have identity, how helplessly we develop ahankara, how helplessly we have mamakara, then we karma, then karma phalam, then strong notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am all this doership, enjoyership, all these strong notions are because of your identity with the physical body. Once you have kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, you have punya papams, and to exhaust the punya papams, you have to be born again, which is samsara, isn't it? So now helplessly, you not knowing why there is samsara, helpless, you are trapped into samsara. So helplessly, anishaya means helplessly, uncontrollably, anishaya, helplessly, show muhyamanaha, being deluded. Muhyamanaha means what? Being deluded. Shochati grieves. Now the jivatma bird grieves being deluded. It means what now? Without having discriminative understanding. The jivatma, see, physically nothing can be separated. See, Atma cannot be separated physically from anything. Even Jiva, the manifestation of consciousness cannot be separated physically from the manifestation cannot be separated physically from the manifesting medium. Physical separation of manifestation and the manifesting medium is not possible. But intellectually, cognitively, you can distinguish the manifestation from the manifesting medium. Is it? But we're not able to do. Therefore, anishaya means helplessly, because the ignorance is very natural. And anishaya, muhyamanaha. Muhyamanaha means being deluded. Being deluded means what? Without having discriminative understanding of what I am, what I am not. Being deluded means what? Without having discriminative understanding of what I am not. Deluded. Shochati grieves. Jivatma, bird, grieves. It's all because of what now? Samsara is because of wrong identity with the physical body. Why wrong identity? You take the body as the meaning of the word I. I mean, you have very strong I sense in the body. And all the notions, qualifications, attribute you add to I am are all because of your identity with the body. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am unhappy, I am tall, I am sick. All qualifications you add to I am are because of your identity with the body. Now, with ahankara, as an individual, as an ajnani, jivatma, and now helplessly you are deluded. You're not able to have the discriminative understanding of what you are, what you are not. What is satyam and what is mithya? Naturally, the jivatma but shochati grieves. Anyway, Paramatma is absolutely free and cool. Paramatma has no samsara, because Paramatma doesn't have any identity with anything. Paramatma has no punyam, no papam, no kartruttam, no bhoktruttam. Paramatma is what? Shivoham, shivoham. Means what? Paramatma is absolutely free. Paramatma has no ahankara. But ahankara are erroneous notion. No mamakara. Paramatma is free. Paramatma has no varna, varna dharma, ashva dharma, no kula dharma, no jati, nothing. Paramatma is absolutely free from all divisions, classifications, distinctions, everything. So anishaya shochati. This is so. Now next. So Muhyamanaha has explained to you already. Next line. Jushtam yada pasyatyanyamisham. Then what happens? It becomes very, very unhappy, sorrowful. Then, anyam isham pasyati. The bird was so addicted, engrossed in eating the fruits all the time. But it goes to this problem of samsara. Then, it is told, you are not the physical body. Physical body is only abode of enjoyment. And you are the witness. Actually, you are essentially of the nature of consciousness. Your swarupam is, your swarupam is consciousness, atma. You are paramatma. We can tell any wave as what? Oh, wave, you are water. It's a fact. Every jivatma can be told was now, every individual, this the reflection of consciousness, no? There is knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. You can say what? You are Paramatma. The Shastram can tell. That is when. And by going through this Driktrishiveka Prakriya, etc., then Jivatma understands this Shastra. The teacher comes, the Shastram comes into the picture, then the person understands the body is object of knowledge. And I am the knower. I am distinct from the known body. I am the knower distinct from the mind. I am the knower distinct from sense organs. I am the knower, I am distinct from all the known, and all, anything known is anatma, material in nature, and that I knower is distinct from the known. So I am the knower, I the knower am not distant from the known, but I the knower am definitely distinct from the known. That distinct I the knower am a paramatma consciousness has to understand. When it understands, that is when, and Upanishad says, what now? Yushtam yada pashyati anyam isham. When this jivatma bird stops eating and just turns its attention from the tree and the fruits too. So the mind is so engrossed in the worldly things, worldly pleasures, enjoyment of worldly objects. Now, and the jivatma bird turns its attention from the tree, turns its attention from the fruits of the tree in terms of punya papams or world of objects. It turns and it sees what? Paramatma bird. The jivatma bird sees the paramatma bird and thereby Ish Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the truth of the whole universe, is there as one's own surupam. When the jivatma bird recognizes paramatma, obtaining as one's own essential nature, then what happened? Asya mahimanam pashyati. Anyam isham yada pashyati. When the jivatma bird recognizes paramatma as one's own surupam, then shifting its identity from anatma, body, minds and complex, asya mahimanam pashyati, it sees its own greatness. It claims one's own greatness. I, the jiva, am paramatma. I am paramatma. The witness, unafflicted, untouched, untainted by any of the functions or the actions or the results of anatma. That is when mahimanam pashyati. It recognizes jivatma, recognizes the paramatma, pashyati, and also understands the glory of paramatma. That paramatma is absolutely, one sees one's own self as paramatma, being non-different from Paramatma. In recognizing one's own self being non-different from Paramatma, one recognizes one's own greatness in terms of what? One's own self is the source of happiness, source of security, source of fullness. And one's own self is the source of life of everything also. Asya mahimanam pashyati. Thereby what happens? Vita shokaha. The minute the jivatma bird stops remaining engrossed in the enjoyment of fruits, shifts its identity from the anatma, body, the jivatma bird takes its attention from the tree and the fruits. Then once it takes its attention from the tree and the fruits, it takes the jivatma attention from the world and the objects of the world, then it sees what? Its own surupam paramatma. Yada pashyam pashyati anyam isham, then asya mahimanam iti. Then it recognizes its own surupam, greatness, then vita shokaha. It becomes free from sorrow. This samsara, and what is the means of freeing oneself from samsara? Jnanam. So jivatma bird resolves the individuality, does not take one's own self as individual anymore, because when it shifts its identity from anatma to paramatma, the consciousness, then aham paramatma in the clear vision, then what happens? Vita shokaha. Vigataha shokaha yasmat saha vita shokaha. becomes free from sorrow. Becomes free from sorrow. Is it clear? Towards the end, the class goes very quickly, isn't it? Vita shokaha bhavati. First mantra we say what? Shochati. Samsare shochati. Ajnane shochati. Jnane vita shokaha bhavati. Shochati grieves. But later on, after having seen and recognized Paramatma as one's own sarupam, then what? Vita shokaha bhavati. It becomes free from sorrow. Is it clear now? Becomes free from grief. So an auspicious day, let us stop at the right place. Okay? Vita shokaha bhavati. So what Bhagavan says, my God, you don't need to go and search a Paramatma anywhere. Okay? Only thing is, all that you need is, you need not attain jnanam. I told you yesterday also in my class, Vedanta Shastram does not really help you attain moksha. Vedanta Shastram helps you. Vedanta Shastra study is not for attaining moksha at all. Vedanta Shastram is not for attaining moksha. Vedanta Shastram is only for you to claim what you are, thereby to drop the misconceptions you have about yourself. Okay? See, in holding on to misconceptions, there is bondage. In dropping the misconceptions, there is freedom. So if you have to drop the misconceptions about yourself, you should know what you are. The Isham Pashyati. Isham Paramatmanam Pashyati. This identity from must be shifted from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to atma, the consciousness. Then finally you'll know what? There's neither jiva atma, there's no parma atma. What is only atma? Only the truth. So in recognizing one's own essential nature being paramatma, then there is mokshaha, vita shokaha bhavati. So I'll stop here. We'll continue next class. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.